fighting for America.
Education should be the number one priority in this state. If we want to improve our economy, if we want to improve our wages, if we want to improve our outcomes for kids.
Fighting for Idaho.
The sexiest thing in the entire world is being really smart. And being thoughtful. And being generous.
Fighting for you.
We just ask our teachers to know the kids as best they can as individuals and then provide the best individual education for every student.
My life at school, it's very challenging, but I choose to accept that challenge.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. From East Junior High, Kevin Miller in the morning, courtesy of CapEd Credit Union, promoting our school, securing our future. We're broadcasting live. Certainly a lot going on. How about that report that says Idaho drivers are the worst in the country? We'll take a look at that as we roll along the latest on ISIS, Adrian Peterson, and other news of the day. But we always love coming to schools, and we're joined by Chuck Johnson and Greg Sasser, teachers here at East Junior High School. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A little earlier, or is this when you guys usually roll in?
Oh, it's a little earlier, but it's not too bad.
Not too bad. Well, let's talk a little bit about life here at Junior High. Of course, you have junior high, middle school. Most of us went to junior high, and then all of a sudden you have the middle school model. What's really the difference?
Depending on how you talk about it, but usually it's you're looking at 7, 8, 9 versus 6, 7, 8. I know for me, like, I grew up in a place that had 6, 7, 8. So it's kind of strange sometimes coming here and going, okay, why is the ninth grade here? But for most of the Boise School District, or all of it, I guess, it's 7, 8, 9. So, but it's a good model that works, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk a little bit about life here.
Well, it's, you know, this is actually my second year here at East after spending 28 years in southeastern Idaho and 28 years in a high school. This has been such a great move. It's such a great community and a great atmosphere here at East. Our school district is second to none, and it's just a pure pleasure to be a part of it.
At 580 KIDO, tell us what you teach.
Well, I teach accelerated reading and seventh grade reading and one seventh grade gifted reading class.
And I teach accelerated 8th English, and I've done 9th and 7th as well.
And what are the kids like as far as, you know, teaching and learning and such? I mean, the age of the ADD, as you can tell, I mean, I'm tweeting, Facebooking, even as we're doing a radio show. It's got to be tough for your kid.
Yeah, I mean, I feel really spoiled. I think East is incredible. I look at some of the work my students put out, and I can go back and see what I was doing at this age, and we push them, especially I know in the English department and all the departments really, but I got, you know, the most insight into English. We push them really hard, and when you raise those expectations, the product that you get is pretty impressive, and I'm blown away on a daily basis at some of the thinking level of a lot of these kids, but we're spoiled.
Probably a little too much if they're, you know, you don't want those kids too smart.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, as I said before, you know, I spent the first 28 years of my 30 years as a teacher in the high school and loved it and never really had the experience of being a junior high teacher. And to come in with seventh graders, I have to admit at first I was a little bit afraid of what to expect, but it has been a blast.
Right.
These seventh graders are just, like I say, a pleasure to teach. They are...
Now, come on, you've got to have a bad day or two.
You know
Johnny talks too much, and you've got to send him to the office.
No, the only bad day is
You're saying no bad days ever.
No bad days. The only bad days are on Saturdays when my teams don't win.
I see. Wow. Well, you heard it here first at 580KIDO. What are the challenges in today's educational environment?
To me, I see the biggest challenge being how we approach technology with the kids. I mean, they're growing up in an age that's completely different than us in terms of things that they can access, things that they're aware of that are going on in the world. And so trying to teach them to use the internet, their technology in a way for good, like I say, to use it in an educational perspective, knowing that they can find all this different stuff, but trying to find the good answers, the real answers, and not just all that information that's out there. They got to filter through it and really look for truth and the educational side of things.
And Greg said it well, you know, and just to even add to that, you know, finding the information, there's a ton of information out there, but what's valid and what isn't. And, you know, that goes right along lines of, you know, writing a good essay and using evidence to support your answers. But, you know, you have to use valid evidence. But kids are putting out a pretty good product.
Well, we don't really hear that a lot, you know. We usually don't hear about the good things in education. What's it been like the past few years when we're talking about, you know, dealing with budgets, dealing with education in the news all the time? Perhaps not so much for the kids because they're not as politically active, but you deal with parents and the like.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough balance between the sort of politics of education and the thing that you got into it for, which is the love of helping kids out and teaching and having your own stage sort of to perform on and to relate this information. So it just, for me personally, like I let the professionals sort of handle that stuff in terms of there's a lot of people that get paid a lot of money to determine our performance, that get paid a lot of money to evaluate the system and how it works, what will improve it, what won't. And, you know, maybe one day when I'm down the line, when I have the education experience to make those decisions, you know, it's worthwhile. But for now, I kind of leave that in the hands of the people that I think are better suited to make those decisions.
And you know, just to go along with that, you know, I'm coming from the Idle Falls School District and into the Boise School District. And so I'm new here. I've been so impressed with what this district does and the opportunities that they provide for our students here. I mean, East Junior High School, we have junior high golf. That's unheard of in any other district. We have tennis for our kids. We have so many opportunities athletically. We also have so many opportunities academically and extracurricular things that we do here. It's just a remarkable thing. It's hard for me to find anything to say bad about this district.
Then you've got to go.
Yeah. Well, if you're
looking when you travel around meet people from all these different mm-hmm. districts or even around the Northwest, and,
right.
you know, I went to a national conference this summer, you hear about some really heavy issues and big problems. And a lot of times for me being at East specifically and in the Boise School District, you go, man, we got a district that I think supports the teachers, and I definitely got a school that supports the teachers. So
sure.
I feel good about that.
A final thought here at 580K IDO for both of you. What do you say, though, to the critics? You know, because I have people that will email me and this and that. Oh, the teacher's this and the teacher's that. And I'm thinking, well, you can't really vilify the teachers and then say you're supporting education. But it has been in the news where you're talking about levies this, that, and the other and facilities being upgraded. Look, people are moving here, and you got to pay for it. When you're at a dinner party or, you know, somewhere else, and they say, well, what's really happening in those schools? And then you say, hey, it's great. Right. And then there's this undercurrent of whether it's controversy or anger. And you have firsthand experience with this. How do you respond to that, the critics?
I think the last big levy for us in Boise School District, I mean, it was a huge victory in terms of the percentage of people that supported paying money for those taxes. My hope is it would continue because that does help us. I don't think we should be beyond criticism, though, either. I mean, that helps keep the system in check and keep teachers accountable and schools accountable. So, you know, I think it's fine to debate and levy those things out. And ultimately, I think if you're doing a good job, the voters are going to support you and your administration is going to support you. So to me, I think it's just be as good a teacher as you can be and let the critics be critical if they want to. And hopefully, to me, at least belief in the system, everything is going to pan out and even out in the end and the right decisions are going to be made.
Well, and as I said, in my brief time here, I see a community that not only wants to support education, but does support education. And we've got a great parent involvement here at East, as well as I think in this whole district. You know, I had an opportunity to teach summer school this summer, and I was pretty impressed.
You're smiling about that.
It really was not bad. I enjoyed it.
I do it too, so I've done it for the last several years.
No, I'm not gonna lie. It hurt my golf game, but it was there's a great product here, you know, it starts from the top with our superintendent down to our principals and assistant principals, all our administrators and our teachers. And quite honestly, it's just it's a job where you look forward to getting up in the morning, even this morning,
right,
this early, and rolling up your sleeves and getting to work.
Well, gentlemen, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
You guys have a good day. 580KIDO, Kevin Miller, as we continue on from East Junior High School. A disturbing study, men, their hairline, and prostate cancer. Let's take a listen. Well, we'll get back to that study in a minute here at 580KIDO. Hell, it even happens to the great Paul Feinbaum on ESPN2. 6:15, Kevin Miller in the morning here from East Junior High. We'll have that study in a minute, but I can kind of give it to you. I'm not Colleen Caban from Fox News Radio, but essentially it says there's a new study finds that there's a link between baldness and prostate cancer. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but again, we'll get you the details in a minute. Apparently, these studies that they circulate again and again and again, I think you can find a study for everything. Coffee's good for you. Coffee is bad for you. Coffee is this. Coffee is that. Let's try it again. Okay. I think we're having a firewall issue. We'll get back to that here. Phone numbers, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller with you here. Other things going on in the world today. I have to hit you with this, and this is a topic that's blown up on social media. It's a non-political one, but it has to do with the Facebook. And people are talking about this show and then taking it over to Facebook. And one of my favorite topics is drivers and whether or not drivers are the rudest in Idaho. And I had a couple people that have driven in Massachusetts, in Boston on 128, and they'll tell you, those folks, very, very rude. On the other hand, you take a look at driving on the connector versus driving in Salt Lake. I got to tell you, the first time I went to Salt Lake last year, and people were saying, dude, watch out for the drivers. Well, I've driven the Autobahn. I've driven this. No big deal, right? Yeah, they got some crazy people there. But when it comes to driving, when it comes to safety, are we really the worst? Of course, I kind of like it. The older you get, the more options you have. You really don't use your turn signal anymore. Do you use your turn signal? Of course, obviously, you have to have the seatbelt on and everything else. But the idea that we're the rudest, we'll talk about that next. It is 6:17, Kevin Miller in the morning. 580KIDO, time for traffic.
Promote our schools. Secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union. We love teachers. Now, back to Kevin Miller at East Junior High on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller with you here, East Junior High. We continue on. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580KIDO. Yesterday was a big day for the president, announcing that he's going to be sending boots on the ground, not to Syria, not to Iraq, but to Africa to combat Ebola.
The Ebola outbreak in West Africa.
Exactly. Short and sweet, Mr. President.
This is the largest international response in the history of the CDC.
There we have it. The Centers for Disease Control. Is this going to stop the disease, or will it mean that we, in fact, will be bringing Ebola back to the United States of America? Now, if you're at Emory University and you have the most up-to-date, best technologically advanced medical equipment, that's great. But if you're in the South, if you're in the West, if you're somewhere else, maybe you don't have access to the latest and greatest medical breakthroughs, are we putting ourselves in jeopardy? Now, other issues, we contrast that with ISIS and ISIL, and we have a lot of people, whether it's our friend Alex Jones, whether it's people that call this program, who sit back and say to ourselves, hey, this ISIS threat isn't real. It's a big issue to try and get our military back there. Look, we have to support the president when it's go time. I think most Americans are wondering when we will tackle ISIS like we are tackling Ebola.
This will not be an easy or a brief effort. It is complicated. We are at war with ISIL, as we are with Al-Qaeda. But destroying ISIL will require more than military efforts alone. It will require political progress in the region and effective partners on the ground in Iraq and Syria.
Right. Of course, that's been the crux of things for quite some time. Finding effective partners. Now you take a look at Saudi Arabia and what they've been doing, funding these groups, pretty much trying to keep the kingdom of Fahd alive, and by making sure that people are agitated by being somewhere else, right? Yeah, that's the issue. Now, what gets me here is that we have this deadly disease, which is horrific, but we have this other disease where people are being killed, where people are being harmed. And we see it on the news. We talk about it. We have Emily Wither here day after day, week after week, talking about the deaths of people. And unfortunately, what we're seeing here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, is just a very bad neighborhood. Look, you have Bashar Assad, the leader of Syria, who is a bad guy. We know that. He's a bad guy. But in comparison to what's going on with ISIS and ISIL, they're even worse. And then all of a sudden we have John McCain and others who are supposed to tell us that, look, this issue is going to come here. You talk to most folks, and they will tell you, Kevin, we believe that ISIS and ISIL will come to America just as Al-Qaeda did, that we've invested. Think of all the time, effort, and treasure that we've invested when we're talking about making a difference. All the training, everything else, and yet now we're spending more and more money. And we look at our infrastructure. You know, I love technology, but I'm a brick-and-mortar guy. What would it take to rebuild the interstate highway system? And you're going to get an actual return on investment, not the patchwork that we see, to expand our internet highway system. When it was built in the 50s, we didn't budget for these super-duper trucks and the super-duper cars. Not every American had a car, right? Boy, maybe we should all just run for office. I think we have the answers. Let's go to Patriot Ray with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Patriot Ray.
Good morning, Mr. Kevin, the great winner of the Marconi Award.
Well, I'm humbled. Thank you, sir.
Hey, as far as ISIS is concerned, the president doesn't want to do anything about anything. He doesn't want to tackle ISIS or ISIL or is, whatever you want to call it. He doesn't want to do anything about stopping people at the border. He's already bringing disease into us. They've already proven that. They've had outbreaks of stuff we haven't had in the United States for years. And then he's going to send 3,000 of our troops over to an area where they know they have a major problem. And they don't know whether it's airborne or not. We keep hearing different stories about that. This is a way to destroy a country. Bring something over that we don't have a lot of control over, that we don't know a lot about, and they really don't know if they have a cure or not for. So, you know, this is the president, as far as I'm concerned, is doing the best he can to destroy us monetarily. His little wife doesn't want us to eat anything except what she thinks we should eat in the school. Kid parents can't really pack a lunch anymore. They get in trouble for doing that. You can't do anything anymore. I mean, you're forced to do health care that you may or may not want, and it's the worst health care we've ever had now. We're not a country of the people anymore. We're a country run by dictators.
Well, how do we get it back?
Well, you know, the first thing is you've got to get some people in Congress who have some guts and some integrity to go after the people that are destroying us from within. I mean, if you remember, Abraham Lincoln said this country would never be taken from without. It would have to come within. And we are seeing systematically the destruction of the greatest country in the world. And we're getting people that hate us now because we have pulled out. We've made promises, and then we pull back. And why don't these people hate us? Because we're not following through with what we say we're going to do. And then the good president announces everything we're going to do. Oh, you know, we're going to pull out on this date. We're going to do this. And oh, we're not going to do that because that might offend somebody. We are so politically correct that we're destroying everything this great country is all about.
Patriot Ray, thank you for the call.
Thank you. Have a great day.
It is 6:30. You're listening to Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO.
We love teachers. Now, back to Kevin Miller at East Junior High on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, we always support education. We're always supporting the arts, and it's always great to start our day with some music. So let's take a look at and a listen to the East Junior High Orchestra here at 580 KIDO. No, folks, you're not listening to NPR this morning. You're listening to 580 KIDO. That is the orchestra here at East Junior High School. Sounds great to me. I think my IQ's already gone up. I don't know, 10, 15. What's that hotel, Ryan? My IQ's gone up 50 points. Thank you. And this is the value of public education and the arts as we move along. So again, we do want to thank our friends at the orchestra here. We're live in the cafeteria, courtesy of our friends at CapEd Credit Union. Probably, again, our commitment to the community and to the arts here. They are so important as we move along. All right, we continue on now. Let's see if we can get our people here. We're joined by Kate Anderson and Dan Cudworth at 580 KIDO. Great job, everybody. Big round of applause. Thank you all for coming in. That was outstanding. We were only going to do 30 seconds, and that was 3 minutes. So great job. Really appreciate you all coming in. Thank you very much. Thank you. Give yourselves a round of applause so everybody can hear you. All right, you have your instruments. All right, thank you. All right, let's talk a little bit about education. When you folks hear that, what goes on in your mind?
Just what we do every day. Just what we do every day in our classrooms. I mean, it's just taking care of the kids and just doing our day-to-day duties.
What is it like being a teacher every day?
It's great for the most part. I mean, it's as long as I'm in my classroom and the door is closed and I'm with my kids, that's where I want to be. It's just seventh grade. Seeing the light bulb moments and, you know, just being able to have those conversations with the kids at this age is why I've been doing this for 24 years.
All right.
And I agree. I like being with my kids. I feel like they're my own kids, and it's really, really neat to watch them grow.
Right.
and mature and learn new things and have aha moments.
What do you say to parents as far as encouraging learning? Because so much of this, you can only do so much in the classroom. A lot of the learning has to go on with, that dreaded word homework.
Well, we have conversations with parents all the time.
But what do you say to parents right now listening? I mean, this is your chance to speak with them one-on-one.
Absolutely. It is really very important that parents stay tuned in. They play, an even more important part in their children's education than we do. We steer them in a certain direction, and parents are the basis for what they learn at home. And if they just ask the kids what they learned that day, it just takes a second, and they can find that out.
And I completely agree. Parents are, the most important part of this, especially at this age, to have that input at home, to be supporting us and their children. And without them, it just makes it that much more difficult for the kids to succeed.
There is an emotional tie, though, because not everything are unicorn and rainbows. You've been doing this for a while. Both of you know that. Take us inside the conflict resolution, because everybody, nobody's going to mess with my kid, and the kid might be wrong, the parent might be wrong, and, you've got to be the arbiter of information.
Well, and you just have to walk that line, and you have to always keep what's best for the child in the forefront. And as long as you're doing that, I think, everybody's going to have their opinion on probably what's the right thing to do. But I think if you keep the child in the forefront at all times, I think that's going to come out in the end as the right way to go.
Right.
Yes, and as long as the kids know that we support them here, no matter what's going on in their lives, they know that they can come here and then they can be okay when they're here. And if they're having a tough time at home or wherever they are,
right.
They know that we accept them and that we are taking care of them as long as they're here.
How do you guys keep up with the technological changes? I love the blackboards, the overhead, the film strips. I know a lot of people don't know what the film strips are, but today, to be a teacher, to be anything, you have to be, multi-platform, multi-dimensional, and that's a little different from, how we were raised.
I think with anything we're talking about, everything in moderation, I think it's impossible not to teach in this day and age without incorporating technology. It's a wonderful tool. But it's still getting back to the basics as well. And so you use what fits your style of teaching, and you figure out new ways and new methods. Every year you're reinventing yourself. And so as technology continues to change, that's just part of the profession, is you have to change with it.
How do you hold their attention?
I think that any time you have kids in your classroom and you are teaching, they really want to learn. That's my experience. I just have never...
They really want to learn?
I really do believe that.
That wasn't me in school, I'll tell you that. Because your mind's on everything else but school.
Well, that's true, but I think we kind of know these kids well enough to know how to twist it so that they think they are learning.
They think they're learning.
They think they're learning, right.
It's kind of like I'm thinking I'm doing a radio show most days. Yes,
right. It's kind of one of those ethereal things. You just have to keep pulling them in, keep talking to them, watch them, have them tell you what they've been learning or, what they've been hearing. You just have to keep pulling them in and be aware of that all the time, monitoring all the time, making sure that they're with you.
Right. What about bullying? We've heard a lot about bullying. There's a big movie about that and all. Has that changed since a lot of us were in school?
I think most definitely when you're talking technology, it's opened a completely different avenue in order
right.
to do that. So I don't think, the extent of the bullying, it's one of those things that we've always dealt with, and I think we always will, but it's got to be something that has to be addressed. And it has to be addressed, in all facets, not just education, but from the home front too. And but technology's changed that. Kids and even, adults, you see it on the blogs and everything else. People have the ability to say whatever they want, and just it's something that has definitely made things more difficult in order to control. That's pretty much
right. You have to be cognizant of that, as opposed to somebody writing a note in the hallway. Anything else that you folks would like to say? Well, that orchestra was great, wasn't it?
The orchestra is part of what makes this school wonderful. We have the choir. We have so many clubs, so many sports for the kids. I can't think of any kid in the school who doesn't have access to this, you know, the sports programs and the music programs at our school. It's just, everybody is involved.
Well, that's great. Anything else?
No.
All right. Thank you, folks.
Thank you very much.
We won't ask you to sing.
Thank you.
All right. And we appreciate it. 648.
You only pay.
Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Coming up next, we'll talk about drivers. Is it your opinion that Idaho has the rudest drivers in the country? I'd like to hear from you next. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Time for traffic. Good morning, Dave.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. And this just coming in, Tony Stewart will face a grand jury. The Ontario County, New York District Attorney's Office has decided to send the Tony Stewart crash case to a grand jury. Stewart was involved in a dirt track crash at a race at a park in New York. That was in August, that killed driver Kevin Ward Jr. While some fans think the investigators have blown the incident out of proportion, other people seem to disagree. Now, you know, what do they say? All these this situation could have been avoided if people would practice common sense. Mr. Ward obviously should not have gotten out of his vehicle. He was angry. We understand that. It's easier for us to say these things when we're not angry, to think logically. He gets out. The first car almost hits him. The second car, driven by Mr. Stewart, and those that saw it there, and I don't know if there are new video evidence of this, saw Stewart rev his engine. Mr. Ward was hit and died subsequent to that vehicle mishap, if you will. And, you know, building upon that here at 580KIDO, you know, how many accidents could be prevented when we see people driving like goofs? I mean, I'm sitting here looking at this report. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Didn't give it a lot of time, this issue involving the worst drivers in the country in Idaho. Now, if you've ever driven Salt Lake, if you've ever driven Seattle or Portland, how in the world can these folks say that we have the worst drivers in the country? I don't get it. Now, maybe a lot of you agree with it, and looking at some of the posts on my Facebook page where I posted this story yesterday, you have a lot of people saying, yeah, we do, and the lack of common sense, people flipping people off. just some of my favorite here, the buzzing's back here, Ryan. It's troubling. So, you know, when you're on the connector, when you're driving, when you're doing these things, let me ask you, how safe and secure do you feel here at 580-5436? And what do you do when you're confronted with someone that, you know, doesn't behave properly? Someone who, in fact, does have a bad driving thing. You know, you have somebody saying, I was out to visit in August. Aside from congestion, I didn't notice any bad driving or rudeness. The Northeast states rule when it comes to that. New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, and Massachusetts top my list, and that's from Eric. You know, other people are saying, well, people don't use turn signals. Well, I don't think they use turn signals anywhere else. Some of my favorite things. Sam Crockett, our great friend, saying, I wouldn't say most rude, I would say most oblivious. Jake Alger, we love him. I've been telling my wife this for 10 years. Seriously, you don't want to get me started on this issue. Well, that's what we're trying to do. And, regardless of where you're coming from or what have you, this issue involving common courtesy, which seems to be lost. Let's discuss that next. Quickly to traffic at 580KI. Some teachers, some students, and the like, promoting our school, securing our future. Thanks to CapEd Credit Union for making that happen. Also, we'll hear from the choir. They've got a great song planned for us As we start your day here at 580 KIDO, and again, the big news of the day, whether it's the local stories involving this driving thing, I just can't believe that anyone who's driven anywhere across the country would try and smack the great folks of the Gem State. So we'll talk about that. And in addition to that, Fox News coming up next with the latest on the Tony Stewart, some storm damage out of California. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Serving Meridian.